darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision.
Hey, Browns fans. Yep. Hello, darkness. 0-6. I thought this was an appropriate song. Welcome to the Doghouse, your inside look at the Cleveland Browns. I'm Andy McNamara, alongside Browns insider from WKYC Sports in Cleveland, Matt Florjancic. Matt, did you like the choice selection? I thought, it's pretty much been appropriate any time over the last 2 years, but I thought this week worked.
Yeah, absolutely it worked. It's a very good selection, and it's very true to what we're dealing with right now as Browns fans.
Yeah, it really is. Where do we go, Matt? Right? Okay, so another week, another loss. Got the tar smacked out of us by the Houston Texans, and we got to see up close and personal again another quarterback that the Browns passed on whoop us. Also, in the Thursday nighter, we had Derek Carr. So back-to-back Thursday nighters, the week before it was Carson Wentz, and we saw Derek Carr lead a comeback to win the game for the Raiders. Still not 100%. That, of course, was the Johnny Manziel year where you could have had Carr in with that second first-round pick. So there you go. Hello, darkness.
Yeah, that was a heck of a game last night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Derek Carr leading the Raiders back. I mean, the man has a broken back,
mm-hmm.
and he can lead an offense to 31 points.
That is correct, sir. We have quarterbacks who
we've scored 31 points in the last two games, and it took us two quarterbacks to do it.
Oh, man.
Oh, and that interception return for a touchdown by Jason McCourty.
Yeah, that's all. Right? The defense has to pretty much do all the scoring here. It's crazy. Well, as you know, folks, we are brought to you by Cleveland Whiskey. That's one thing I'm not down about. ClevelandWhiskey.com, guys, check it out. I had some of the Cleveland Whiskey straight bourbon whiskey last night, watching that Thursday night game near the end. I thought, man, you know what? I can't take seeing Derek Carr light up the league again. Try it out. Follow them on Twitter, at Cleve Whiskey. They're on Instagram, Facebook. Great recipe and drink ideas and stuff too, but they have their underground variety, which is different. Like the straight bourbon whiskey is phenomenal, but how they're able to use the technology, check it out, clevelandwhiskey.com. the hickory, the dark cherry, there's so many different flavors. You can check them out in downtown Cleveland. They have the distillery there. If you're outside of the state or city, not a problem. Again, go to clevelandwhiskey.com. They'll hook you up and be able to ship the product out. But Matt and I are huge fans, and that's why we're so excited to have them on as a sponsor again for the second season for them. This is what, Matt, is this our third season doing the show? I think so. Is this season three?
Yeah, this is our third season of the show, and I believe they've been on board since the start of year two.
Yeah, that's right. And we have what, in our three seasons, a combined four wins, I think? With this
team.
It's
not our fault.
Not our fault, man. They were bad long before us. So our Twitter poll question, at AndyMC81, at Matt Florjancic, and at Cleve Whiskey, our Cleveland Whiskey Twitter poll question. Now that DeShone Kizer is back at quarterback, how many other starting QB changes will the Browns make this season? So not how many have they made already and in addition to, but starting from now, after Kizer, how many other starting quarterbacks will play for the Cleveland Browns starting the game? 0, 1, 2, or 3 or more? Where are you coming out on that?
Oh, until they prove otherwise, just like with the wins and losses, I think they're going multiple quarterback changes. I wouldn't be surprised to see two or three more.
Wow. Okay, so you got to pick one, though. Two's an option and three or more. Which one?
Well, I probably should have read the question more carefully when I voted, but I'll go with two.
You go with two. Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Kessler get in at one way or another because he's been promoted, and then Kizer back in again, right? Like, and then this is even without taking into consideration the obligatory injuries that always seem to pop up. So I think two's safe. So right now, early in the poll, two is in last place. So we'll give an update at the end of the show where things are. Again, you can tweet at AndyMCD1, at Matt Florjancic, and at Cleve Whiskey. Matt, Kizer back, and really, I think we can see through how Hugh Jackson is explaining it, but it makes sense from the standpoint of you really couldn't go back to Kevin Hogan after that debacle. And it's like, oh, well, Kizer was able to learn from the sidelines. Matt, there's a thing called film. Couldn't he have learned how to not throw three interceptions in a game from watching his own tape?
clearly he couldn't because he did it in back-to-back games earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And really it was a moot point because according to Hugh Jackson and Kevin Hogan themselves, Hogan got sacked in practice even though the quarterback has the no-touch jersey and bruised his ribs. So they had to do something because it was he's been a fair amount of pain, and you can't play quarterback when you can't throw the ball.
No.
Not that this ever stopped the Browns from trying since 99, but hey, you know, that's just technically speaking.
True, true. But Matt, here's what got me as well, is Kevin Hogan before, and we were optimistic last week to a certain degree coming in because when he's coming to the game, he moved the ball so well. So it baffled me that Hugh Jackson went away from everything that worked when Kevin Hogan came in spot duty. Like, he doesn't have the strongest arm, so why are you throwing deep balls? Why are you throwing down the sideline? If the defense is clogging up the middle to make you do that, why are you not throwing more check down passes or shorter passes to even things out or lean on the run game more? Like, it just seems like we're not football executives. We're not football head coaches, and it seems so obvious. Like, how did he go away from his strengths, ultimately almost putting him in a position to fail?
Andy, I wish I had a better answer for you, but that's been what they've been struggling with all season.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, and really this whole regime, I mean, it started when Sashi was put in a position to fail because he's never done player picking before.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does go from the top down.
No, you're right. You're right. And it goes.
So I'm not surprised.
And it goes from not just that, Matt, but then we've seen inexperienced executives come in, surround themselves with the right type of football people, and succeed. Sashi gets a Baldy Podesta baseball analytics guy and a 28-year-old Andrew Berry to lean on, and some dude named Ken Kovach who stuffs things in a computer for analytics. Analytics is a debacle right now as far as being the main tool. Every team, Belichick uses it and used it as far as part of the equation. But you have to have strong football people make a voice. And Matt, I just think this group here, they're just paralyzed by indecision. And you're letting the final say be had by a guy who has never done it and doesn't know what he's doing. Like, that's what's insane. Like, you, Matt, the odds came out on Bovada, a betting site. You know who the clubhouse leader right now, and it's a long way to go in the season, but the clubhouse leader right now to win the NFL MVP is, do you know?
Well, I mean, I would think Alex Smith is in the discussion. I think Carson Wentz is in the discussion too, and I think that's where you're going.
Bingo. Carson, before the Thursday night game, Carson Wentz was leading the clubhouse. Deshaun Watson was fourth if the MVP votes were ahead today. So you have Paul DePodesta who says he doesn't think, And Paul DePodesta's opinion, as far as coming from a non-football background, is as valid as ours, maybe less so, says that Carson Wentz won't be a top 20 quarterback in the NFL. And he's leading the MVP. Paul, you're fired. Goodbye. To quote the president, you're fired. It's over. You whiffed on an MVP. Now, Derek Carr was with the old regime. They're gone. But then you also missed on Deshaun Watson at 12. Like Matt, you just can't keep keeping on quarterbacks. Like, I can't trust this group to go into this next draft. Come on. I'm expecting them to pick my quarterback.
You got 24 picks over the last 2 years. And I could make the argument, and I'm fairly certain I've said this on a previous show, but you could make the argument that they hit on maybe three guys.
Wow. Yeah.
None of the wide receivers. None of the defensive backs, and really the only place they've hit is the defensive line. Myles Garrett, because you lucked into that pick. I mean, that thing fell into your lap, and you still tried to mess it up.
Yep.
Emmanuel Ogba, I would say, is going to be one of those guys that you look down 7-8 years and go, damn, he's had a freaking nice career.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him. I like him.
To me, he sounds like, or he looks like a guy that's going to be a higher draft at the top of Ruben. Consistent,
okay.
Good motor, good effort. Guy that's going to go out, play his tail off.
Yeah.
And then I would think Carl Nassib can be a difference maker. Not like a Pro Bowl level, but he seems to force a lot of fumbles and be around the ball a lot.
Right.
And that's exactly what you want in a defensive lineman.
Right. Right. So that's fine. the receiver position, like, we've gone through this and we'll go through this more, how bad this roster is. So it's kind of that chicken or the egg thing.
Can I just make one more point about the wide receivers?
Absolutely.
The last 2 weeks I've watched Thursday Night Football and paid very close attention to the wide receivers. And I look at the likes of Calvin Benjamin and Cook for the Raiders. They look like college players that came back to run a practice at high school for us who are the freshmen. We have a bunch of little guys running around that are like 5'11", 185, maybe 195 pounds. These guys are like 6'4", 230, and they look the part. And they're damn good at getting the ball in traffic.
Yeah.
How many of our wide receivers would have caught the ball that Michael Crabtree caught to tie the game last night?
Zero is the answer to that.
How many quarterbacks do we have on the roster that would have made that throw?
We would have had a pick six easily on the first pass interference penalty. Go the other way. Would have been picked up.
I just,
right
there was a shot yesterday where I just shook my head. I was talking to my wife, and I said, you know, it was Derek Carr and Khalil Mack celebrating the touchdown.
No.
And I said,
oh, no.
God, both of those could have been Browns.
Sure could have. Sure could have. A regime
ago,
man.
Instead, we got Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel, both of whom are out of the NFL.
Both are out of the NFL. Two first-round picks out of the NFL. And Cameron Irving, the year after, is doing squat in Kansas City. Wow. So you have Danny Shelton, who's, you know, serviceable. He's fine. Danny Shelton's fine. That's the latest first-round pick. The last of that other group. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, Matt, and the only receiver we have that looks like a wide receiver is Kenny Britt, but we know he, what's the saying, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Expect to see a little bit out of him if he gets on the field this week because it's his old team, but then it'll go right back to the same thing next week.
Here's what got me. He was telling reporters, oh, I got some pep in my step against the team that drafted me. You're getting paid how many millions of dollars? You better get pep in your friggin' step every day, you loser. How about that? A pep in your step? What? Are you a professional? Fired again. I need to get a Donald Trump fired sound clip to dump into this show, Matt. Are you kidding me? So what does that lead me to believe? That he's just going through the motions the rest of the way? Sure looks like that. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it really does.
Wow.
And the fact that he was inactive because he was hurt last week.
BS.
That's a bunch of bunk. Call it what it is.
Yep.
He got benched.
Good.
And everybody knows it.
Good. He needed to be benched. One bright, I like what Kason Williams is doing, but he's still learning the ropes. Sammy Coates is a total bust. He's super fast, but he overruns guys on special teams. And for some reason, he's not out on the field during passing downs. Like, I don't know. And then just when the Browns get into any sort of routine, like they had, what, 5 straight runs last week against the Texans, getting momentum, and then Hugh goes away from it. It's like he can't help himself, Matt. Like, he has to throw. Like, he wants to be playing Madden and have the big touchdown. It's like, just run the damn ball if it's working. Just do it.
If something's working, you do it.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
It's just simple, it seems like. But, Matt, we got the Tennessee Titans coming to town. And Marcus Mariota not at 100%. On paper, this is a winnable game, but we know with this Browns team, we've had 3 of those quote winnable games, and well, we're 0-6. But he's nursing his hamstring back. The pass rush for the Titans is almost non-existent. I think they had the fewest quarterback pressures in the NFL, so it shouldn't be a rushed day for DeShone Kizer. But Matt, what happens is if you don't rush the quarterback, that means guys get dropped back. And that means more bodies over the middle for interceptions, which is also scary to me because, well, we know how Kizer's turned over the ball.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. Okay, yeah, he's made 5 starts in 6 weeks, and he's played the equivalent of just over 4 games worth of quarters. Mm-hmm. He still leads the NFL in interceptions with 9.
Oh, boy. Wow. And lowest completion percentage, I believe, in the NFL of starters.
Oh, and by the way, according to a friend of mine who's very good with analytics and numbers, the guy with the worst quarterback rating over multiple starts with the Browns since 1999
is?
He's starting on Sunday.
Oh, boy. There we go. Analytics. So your analytics guy is saying the quarterback that the Browns analytics people picked, his analytics are bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
49.5 quarterback rating.
So
Manziel was 29.9 points better.
Oh, man. You know what? I heard this the other day on ESPN Cleveland, our friends over there, that Johnny Manziel has still the best record at 2-6 of any Browns quarterback over the last three seasons. How scary is that, ladies and gentlemen? Let me say that again, folks. All our Doghouse listeners out there, presented by Cleveland Whiskey. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, still has the best record of any quarterback that the Browns have had record-wise over the last 3 years.
We'll make you feel a little bit better about that, Andy. We'll go back 5 years and say it's Brian Hoyer at 10-6.
Okay. I don't know if that helps me. Poor Hoyer got his ass benched in San Francisco. They got C.J. Beathard starting out there. So Hoyer's done as a starter. It's over for him if it's not going to work with Kyle Shanahan. So tough break for Hoyer out there. But Matt, yeah, like, okay, with the Titans, so maybe Kizer has some more time. Like, there just seems no rhyme or reason for us to be able to really analyze how the Browns can win. Because for Kizer, the numbers are terrible. But we could argue, boy, if he had any half-decent receivers, man, how many times, especially early, was he victimized by drops or miscues or tips that should have been caught? There's at least three of his interceptions that weren't his fault, that were off of it, like Kenny Britt's hands or something, that were right in there and tipped, right? Like, I don't think he's.
You could make that argument, but and I do at some level agree with it, but the bottom line is he's still putting it in places where it shouldn't be put into sometimes when he makes those turnovers.
Yeah.
Now his wide receivers are doing nothing to help him. Indianapolis was the quarterback version of the Cody Parkey game in Miami last year. Oh. Every chance they gave the wide receivers, just like every chance they gave Cody Parkey to make a difference, they completely fell apart.
They did. They sure did. Okay, Matt, prediction time. Our Cleveland Whiskey prediction. ClevelandWhiskey.com. Check them out. Score and prediction. I think I know who you're going to pick to win, but what will the score be?
24-10 Tennessee.
24-10. I'm going to try to stay a little bit more optimistic. I think we're going to see Kizer move the ball and maybe even score a touchdown or two through the air. I'll say 28-17 Titans. Kizer shows improvement. Defense continues to baffle, which is supposed to be the strength. I hope Myles Garrett at least gets another sack because that dude is balling out. Matt?
Yeah, Myles is playing well. Yeah. McCourty's playing well.
Yeah, he sure is.
And I would expect him to continue to play well. My problem is Jabril Peppers, they let Will Fuller run 30 yards uncovered, mm-hmm. and after he catches the ball, Peppers is still trying to track him down from behind when he's playing 35 yards off the frickin' ball.
Yep. So where's the sense in that?
How do you do that?
Where's the sense in that? What's the point? You give the guy a head start.
What angles are you taking to get to that point where you're still trying to track a guy down?
I don't blame Peppers. That's not done in the NFL. That's not done in college. Right? Like, it's again, putting people in positions to fail. And Greg Williams seems like the guy to me, Matt, who is stubborn as hell and is just going to dig his feet in, and that doesn't benefit the team. And that's
well, we've seen that with defensive coordinators really since Rob Ryan in 2009.
Yep.
Rob Ryan was stubborn as a mule. We're going to run a 3-4. Ray Horton was stubborn as a mule. We're going to run a 3-4. The only one who really wasn't was Dick Geron.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Geron tried to put his guys in the best possible positions to win.
Yeah.
And outside of that, there haven't been too many guys that you can say that about.
No, there haven't. Matt, much to the joy of our friend, our good listener down in Brazil, Paulo, who, by the way, Paulo, shout out, sent us some, how about this, man? Sent us some nice Brazil, I can't really pronounce the drink name, but like a nice Brazil drink.
It's a caipirinha.
Caipirinha. I had it the other night. It was delicious. Very, like a nice lime, lemon taste to it. It was very tasty. So he sent us a nice package, like a stir stick and like a muddle, like the parrots on it with Brazil, and very, very nice. Paulo, thank you very much. Avid listener down in Brazil, so we really appreciate that. But he wants Cody back. We know he's a Kessler guy. He tweeted at us, at AndyMCD1, at Matt Florjancic, said Cody Kessler will be back. I don't doubt he'll be back, Matt. I just don't. He is 0-8, though. That's what we have to remember. Cody Kessler's not saving anybody. He is 0-8. So if he gets in there, that means something, again, has gone terribly wrong with DeShone Kizer.
I don't rule it out, though, buddy.
Oh, no, I don't. I really think we'll see him. I think we'll see him. But I don't think we're going to see anything good. He didn't get a win, Matt. How can I be confident in Cody Kessler? He's 0-8. I can't be confident in that. There's not one quarterback in that room who can point to a professional win and say, oh, this is how I won. They haven't done it.
Yeah, when you put it that way.
Enjoy
your Sunday, everybody.
I just depressed myself. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
you're
Matt.
Like the most positive Browns fan I know at the start of every season.
Oh.
And these losses have just completely stripped you of your confidence and belief in this team, man. I hate seeing that, but that's the exact point of what we're talking about.
Yep. Yep.
I looked up the schedule yesterday on ESPN.com, and they have a link to tickets. 4,700 tickets available for Sunday's game. You can get them as low as
$7.
$7. You can get a lower bowl corner end zone seat for $27.
Wow.
Gets better.
Wow.
Baltimore Ravens, December 17th, home finale, week 15. Everybody should be playing for something. You can get tickets as low as $4. And there's 8,000 of them.
Wow.
And that's on the resale market where they upcharge you.
Where they upcharge you. Maybe I should see if we can get an airline sponsor, Matt, and see if I can get to fly down for a $4 ticket in December. Why not?
You can't even get into the preseason for that game for that much money.
Oh, wow. That's
$4.
That stadium's going to be empty, man. And I hope Jimmy Haslam. We've heard the Peyton Manning rumors and all that. I'm not going to get into that because until there's something concrete, it's just, you know, we're just throwing stuff at the wall. But, man, it's going to be an empty stadium. Hopefully they can pull one out and kind of regenerate re-energize the city.
I can't even say it
because there is no energy. We're 1-21. Do you realize we've been unhappy 21 of the last 22 Sundays during football season? That's a lot of your life, folks. That
and if you throw in a Patriots Super Bowl comeback, that makes it 22.
Well, oh, boy. Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Amy. Yeah. Our good listener, Amy, she's a diehard Patriots fan.
She is.
Along with being a Browns fan, so.
Yeah.
Had to get that little shot in there.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Let's give a final update on our Cleveland Whiskey Twitter poll. Again, folks, clevelandwhiskey.com. Check them out. The product's just great. Matt and I have had it. We've toasted over it together, and it's something where the Christmas whiskey is going to be coming out, the bourbon, just great. Tell me that you've tried it. You can tweet me at AndyMCD1, at Matt Florjancic. Let me know how you like it. Great company. Great guys, too. Family business. Tom and Andrew Licks. Good dudes. Try them out. Local guys. ClevelandWhiskey.com on Twitter at Cleve Whiskey. Twitter poll question. Kizer's back in at QB. How many other starting quarterback changes will the Browns have the rest of this season? So, not including Kizer, but after this, how many more times will they change starting quarterback? 0, 1, 2, 3 or more. Matt leading the way is 3 or more, man, at 34%. Second place is 1 at 30%, then 0 at 21%. Some optimism there. And 2 at 15%.
Yeah, some optimism. We got the two ends of the spectrum. We got a little optimism, and then we got the realism.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? We just had a few more votes come in. It is now tied between 3 or more and 1 quarterback change. So you can vote at AndyMCD1, at Matt Florjancic, and at Cleve Whiskey on our Doghouse show poll. Okay, Matt, what can people expect on WKYC.com/sports for your Browns coverage this weekend?
We'll have a feature on Myles Garrett saying Ooh. That he thinks he can actually play better than what he's shown so far, which is
nice.
Quite
nice.
Honestly scary for opposing teams and awesome for the Browns. We'll have a story on Kessler moving up the depth chart and what the last 7 weeks have been like for him.
Paulo, pay attention.
We'll also have, huh?
I said, Paulo, pay attention. Matt has a Cody Kessler article coming out.
I've got a couple Jason McCourty stories because he's playing his old team, and you know, some good comments from Mike Mularkey and Marcus Mariota about Jason, and then also what Jason has meant to the Browns. We got some comments from Hugh Jackson, so. Got a little bit of everything.
Very
a lot
cool.
of defensive focus, though, because there's nothing to talk about offensively.
No, not at all. Okay, Matt. Well, as always, we'll keep the good thought. Hope the Browns can prove us wrong and can pull off that first win down at First Energy Stadium. Enjoy the game, buddy. We'll be texting and tweeting along the way at Matt Florjancic at AndyMC81. Enjoy the game if you can.
Sounds good, buddy. You take care. You enjoy it, too.
All right. That is Matt Florjancic. I'm Andy McNamara. The Doghouse, your inside look at the Cleveland Browns, is presented by Cleveland Whiskey. Go Browns!